continuing our movement through Psalm 119, and the first stanza that we're doing today, stanza number 6, is actually the one I'm preaching on. So I'm going to read that one to you, and then when the others come up, we'll do them responsively. So Psalm 119, 41 to 48. May your unfailing love come to me, Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then I can answer anyone who taunts me, for I trust in your word. Never take your word of truth from my mouth, for I have put my hope in your laws. I will always obey your law forever and ever. I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. I will speak of your statutes before kings, and I will not be put to shame. For I delight in your commands because I love them. I reach out for your commands, which I love, that I may meditate on your decrees. So as we continue our travels through Psalm 119, I chose this stanza to focus on for this week. The psalmist is expressing a desire to experience God's loving kindness and salvation through his word, leading to this confidence and freedom for the psalmist to speak God's truth without feeling ashamed. The passage highlights the value of God's word, encouraging this love for his commandments, meditations on his statute, and a desire to share God's story. Now, stanza 5 that we looked at last week, it laid out a list of requests for God to cause to happen. So to cause learning, to cause understanding, to cause obedience. Stanza 5 was the plea of the psalmist's heart, and stanza 6 is very connected to those requests. And interestingly, the Hebrew letter for 6 is vav, which is represented by a peg or a hook, and it's often used as a conjunction similar to the word and. So we have the requests in stanza 5, and stanza 6 is the response. Stanza 6 demonstrates a trust that God has and will continue to meet the desires expressed in the previous stanza. Now the 6th stanza begins and ends with love. The psalmist invites God's unfailing love to cover him in the first verse, and then in the last 2 verses, the psalmist expresses his love for God's commands and, by extension, for God. May your unfailing love come to me, Lord, your salvation according to your promise. And then he ends, I delight in your commands because I love them. I reach out for your commands, which I love. We see a very familiar pattern. We love because God first loved us. God's commandments are God's love poured out toward us, the instructions for living good lives. Because God first loved us, we in turn can love God and also the laws of God. How do we express our love for God and his commands? Are we like the psalmist that we delight in God's word? Are we excited to follow God's ways of loving people, even that annoying person you work with? Or maybe they're in your family? Do we delight? Is it our love to follow as God commands? Now, in this 6th stanza contains one of the most powerful responses we can have to God. I trust in your word. Trust is the key to our faith. Now, trust and faith are not exactly the same, although we interchange them, and there is a bit of overlap. But there is a nuance of difference worth noting, because I think it will help us in our understanding. So faith is more the foundation, the belief in something unseen, while trust is more the action that flows from that faith. Trust is how we stand on those beliefs, how we live according to those beliefs. Trust is the response of our faith. Trusting God means living in confidence that God is good and faithful, and that he loves us. Trust means actively relying on God, believing in his promises, and acting accordingly. In short, trust is what we do because of the faith that we have. And the psalmist trusts in the goodness of God and in the wisdom of his instruction, so much so that he makes a list of I wills that he declares. I will always obey your law. I will walk about in freedom. I will speak of your statutes before kings. This expresses the confidence and trust the psalmist has in the ability of God's word to guide him and to strengthen him. He would not be able to say, I will, if he hadn't first given to Christ or to God the desire of his heart, and to pray for that God would cause him understanding, and that God would turn his heart away from wrong things and toward God's commands, and that he would turn his eyes away from worthless things and toward those things that God values. So what are the statements that we can make? What would be our I will statements based on our trust in God? Can we say, I will not fear? Can we say, I will not worry? I will love my enemies. I will forgive quickly. Do our actions show that we trust in God's goodness? Or do we always try just to fix everything and fix everyone with our own supreme wisdom? Are we self-reliant or God-reliant? The psalmist continues in verse 43. Never take your word of truth from my mouth. Never. The psalmist is all in. He is surrendered and committed to living according to God's truth. How often do we set aside God's truth because it's a little inconvenient in that moment? Maybe it's even a little embarrassing to say that we would believe such a thing. We can be moody Christians. We behave like a Christian when the mood hits. But we believe that Daniel's the author of this psalm. And we know that Daniel stood on his convictions with no compromise. He loved God and trusted in God's goodness, even to the point of being obedient enough to be thrown into the lion's den. There was no compromise in Daniel. How convicted are we? How committed are we? The verse continues, for I have put my hope in your laws. Hope is another of those big words. Biblical hope is a confident expectation and assurance of future good, rooted in God's promises and God's character. Too often we put our hope in our own efforts, in our own decisions and our plans. We often neglect to consider God when we're deciding things. But this psalmist, he's solid. His hope is in God's plan. And this hope fuels his trust and his ability to follow and obey God's ways. We can certainly see how important and valuable God's word is to the psalmist. If we skim down the psalm again, we see in verse 42, he put his trust in God's word. In verse 43, his hope was in God's laws. In verse 45, he studied God's precepts. Verse 46, he boldly spoke of God's statutes and was not ashamed. Verse 47, he delighted in God's command. Verse 48, he reached out thinking about them a lot. And the psalmist uses all these different terms, laws, precepts, statutes, commands, decrees, and they're all different Hebrew words that refer to God's word and different aspects of God's word. Every part of God's word was valuable to the psalmist. He didn't just pick and choose the pieces he liked. That's where he found his answers, his hope, his courage, his delight. And the psalmist didn't even have the whole counsel of God that we have. If the scholars are right that this psalm was written during Babylonian captivity, it means that the psalmist likely only had the books of Moses, so Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Probably had the book of Isaiah, some of David's Psalms, and probably a few of the minor prophets like Amos and Hosea and Micah. But we have in our scripture, what we have in our scriptures is incredible. We've got the full counsel of God. Where the psalmist had prophecies about a Messiah that was coming, we have the words of the Messiah. We have the words of Jesus. And some of our Bibles even make it easy because they print it in red. I imagine the psalmist would have loved to have had what we have in our word. And yet, so many Christians struggle to embrace God's word. Although the Bible is the top-selling book of all times on the New York top-selling list forever, it might be one of the least read. Many people own Bibles. Lots of times it's a family Bible that gets passed down and stuffed in the closet and passed down yet again to the next family. But are they read? How often are they opened? Are the spines breaking because we spend so much time reading them? How valuable is God's word to you? Are you determined to keep it, to live according to God's way? Or do you keep it somewhat conditional when it's convenient, when it aligns with what you thought would be the best thing to do anyways? When it's acceptable to the people around you? Or are you like the psalmist, determined to keep God's word continually, even in the face of opposition and taunting and ridicule? Here's what we know. When we follow the psalmist's example and we walk and we hold value to God's word and walk in it, that we will walk in freedom wherever we go. That we will find delight in God's word, and we will learn and grow to love it with all our heart. How valuable is God's word to you? Consider the Christians who live in less friendly parts of this world, who live under persecution. They can be killed or thrown in prison for even owning a few pages of a Bible, and yet they risk it. I remember reading an article from a minister who had been with some of the people from one of the hidden churches in China. And they were having a conversation about God's word, and he was referencing a scripture, and he's like, "Well, I'm sorry, I don't have a Bible that can show you that scripture." And the lady, the Chinese lady, said, "It's no matter, I have it memorized." And he's like, "You've memorized it? It was the book of Peter. You've memorized the book of Peter?" She goes, "Well, of course. They can't take what's in my mind. They can take from me a piece of paper. So when we get a piece of scripture, we memorize it." How dedicated. At the risk of life, they see this value that we just don't seem to have in Canada. And I wonder why. Do we need persecution to see the value of God's word? We are so privileged to have it make sense to hide it. They're memorizing the word so it can never be taken from them. They have Bible studies in the prisons based on their memory of what the word says. Is God's word valuable to you? And if it is, then embrace it. Give God time, read his word. Ask the Holy Spirit to meet you in the pages of the Bible for understanding. It won't be a waste of your time. And in fact, it will build your life in a way that's incredible. It will give you peace and understanding in situations where other people are falling apart. There's something valuable. The psalmist understood that. Go with confidence into the days ahead, trusting in God's unfailing love and faithfulness. God will not abandon you, for you are the work of his hands, his own creation, and his love endures forever. So go in joy to love and serve the Lord. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.